kind of a little bit of a continuation, though this is not exactly a series, but a little bit of a continuation on how do you know him? How do you know him? The title I call this was Hallowed Be Thy Name. Isaiah chapter 9, 6, of course, is a verse that we always read at Christmas, that around the Christmas time they have, you know, the cribs and the things about Jesus' birth. And his name shall be called Wonderful. And really, my title to you is, how do you know him? Do you know him as Wonderful? Do you know him as Counselor? Do you know him as the Mighty God? Do you know him as the Everlasting Father? Because what I'm trying to teach you tonight is the way you know him is very important to how it works in your life. And I'm going to show you tonight that in the Old Testament, the names that God used, and that's why that song was so fitting, because it said Jehovah Jireh. Every time they gave God a name, it was because of the interaction that had just happened. Jehovah Rapha, right? Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tisakenu, Jehovah Nissi. All those names denote a relationship. So it's important the name that you know him by. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you know him as Jehovah Rapha, what does that mean? Healer. You have a relationship where you have experienced healing, right? Jehovah Nissi is the banner of victory. You have a relationship where you know him that he has given you victory. So the name that you know him by is important. And that's why they gave names to denote relationships. When Jacob slept, and I didn't put all of this, I'm just teaching it. When Jacob slept, when he was running away from Laban, and he slept that night on a stone, and he had an experience. He saw a ladder going from earth to heaven, and he had a relationship, and he called the name of the place Bethel, house of God. You see how the name that you know him by translates to the relationship, or the relationship translates to the name that you know him by. So tonight, my question to you is, how do you know him? Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, the beauty is if you can know him by all of the names, the fullness, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If you can know him by all of his names, because his person and his attributes are revealed through his name. So let's look at that in the Old Testament. And of course, the first name that is given for God, of course, is God, which is Elohim. In the beginning, God, and that's translated from the word Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. And so, as you can understand, Elohim is a general, generic name for God, and it really means the name for deity or divinity. And lots of people know God that way, right? Lots of people believe that there is a God. They know him as a divinity. But there isn't much in that relationship if you leave it just as God. That's why they didn't leave it just as God, but they added Rapha, Nissi, because there was more to it than just creator God. Many people, in fact, everyone, up until Noah's time, knew of God. But the Bible said that they would rather worship the creature than the creator. They rejected God. They didn't want to know. They became foolish in their thinking. So Elohim, in a general sense, is just a generic name that was applied to a divine being. But it didn't really have much of a relationship. It does also mean, of course, a God of gods, and it does mean judge of judges. So that's one of the definitions of Elohim. So let's look some more. The next word that's used to express God is the Lord God. And that's found in Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in that day. And now it uses a new word for God. Instead of Elohim, it's got Lord. And when you look in your King James Version, that's capitalized. Lord God. And that, of course, comes from the four-letter word, the tetramigraton that Moses heard from the bush. And So that is Lord, and it's the four Hebrew words that are really not pronounceable, but when you put the vowels in there, we call it Yahweh or the I Am. And it really, in modernized word, is Jehovah or the self-existing one. So when it said the Lord God, when you see Lord like that capitalized in your King James Version, in the Hebrew, it's really the I Am that I Am. It is the capitalized revelation that was given to Moses. And so this is the name used in Scripture when emphasizing God's might and his creative power and his attributes of justice and rulership. It says the Lord God created and made the earth and the heavens. And so we see first in Genesis it just uses a generic name, and then in Genesis 2 it starts to expand upon that name, giving more revelation to the name that God was revealing. And of course in Genesis 15 we have a new name, Adonai. That's found in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And you see, his name has not been changed yet. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Isn't that a wonderful verse? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Do you believe that God can be your shield and not just your great reward, but exceeding great reward? You don't sound too enthusiastic tonight. He is your shield. He told Abraham, this is before Abraham's name had been changed. Look at it very carefully. This was before Abraham's name had been changed. God sovereignly, in his grace and his mercy, has called you and said, I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham, in return now, started to know God in a different way. He said, Lord God. And this time, you see, it's not capitalized. It's lowercase in your King James Version. That's because the Hebrew word there is Adonai. Adonai, which means master. What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. So we see that there's certain names starting to be expounded in the book of Genesis as relationships went deeper. Then we go to Exodus, and we see that God was revealed himself in another name. Exodus 6:3, when speaking to Moses, he said, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Well, you'll say, well, didn't it say Jehovah in Genesis 2? Well, that's because Moses wrote it in there. But God is telling them, explaining that Abraham did not know him by that name. He was known as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Or some people, I believe, mistranslate it. They want to say that it means the many-breasted one. But that's not really the meaning in the Hebrew that I believe is the correct one. But we'll go into that a bit later. By my name of God Almighty, that means provision. El Shaddai means he's going to provide. He's going to open doors. He's going to make the way. So again tonight, how do you know him? What name do you know him by? What has he been in your life? Can you say there's a relationship where you can say, he is my counselor. He is my Prince of Peace. Has there been a time when you've been all flustered and upset and you've been able to say, Jesus, just be a peace to me now? You see, when Abraham met this other figure, what was his name? Melchizedek. Do you understand? He now knew him, knew God in a new relationship. King of righteousness. King of righteousness. And Hebrews later reveals that his title was also King of Salem, King of Peace. So as we go closer to the Lord, we should know him by all of these names, the fullness. The fullness. But there is one very important name that we will get to in a little bit. By my name Jehovah was I not known to them. In those days, the gods, the names that the gods or the fallen angels or the societies worshipped, again, in the same way, they named their gods after what they wanted their gods to do. So, for instance, Baal, which means Lord, or Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Air, he was one of the Canaanite gods that was they believed helped them for bringing rain. So he was the god of the storms. That's why Beelzebub is Lord of the air, or the Lord of the flies, as it's translated, but it really means the Lord of the clouds, the storm. So he was the storm god. So their relationship to their fallen demons was, they knew him by, if they wanted rain, they would pray to Beelzebub or to Baal to bring the rain. And I didn't put I did put the picture, and as you can see, his emblem too was a bull. Remember I taught about that, the four likenesses last week, and of course, we're not surprised because behind the representation of Baal was, of course, Satan. So you'll see, and in fact, there were many, many names in the Old Testament. I didn't go through all of them, but there were many names in the Old Testament of the different gods. And when you look them up, you'll see that it denoted a relationship. Here's another one, Ashtaroth, and she's always shown as a figure for fertility, and her name, of course, means star. Because they worshipped the stars. And so her name comes, she's known by many names in the Roman pantheon of God. She evolved into Diana. If you remember in the New Testament, they were making silver figurines to Diana. And she was worshipped and named when pregnancy was wanted. That was the relationship. So you see that whoever your God is, the name of the relationship is important. Let's look at this a little bit more. The Bible tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him as El Shaddai. They didn't know him yet as the I am that I am. That was only revealed with Moses. They knew him as God Almighty. And the relationship that you see that was revealed to Abraham as Isaac and Jacob was in the physical. That is, what God did was in the physical realm, right? Almighty to save Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. That was a physical act. God came and delivered him before destruction came down. That was a physical deliverance. So he was almighty in that sense. They knew him as El Shaddai. He was almighty to bless Isaac and Jacob. He was almighty to deliver Jacob from Esau. So we see that relationship, all the things that were done under the banner of Almighty was in the physical realm. They called him Almighty. And we see, though, that as God revealed himself by his name, we see that he tells the children of Israel, once they had come out of Egypt, Numbers 6:23, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise he shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. Unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, at that time, what name was that? Because remember, the name denotes the relationship. No, not El Shaddai, that was Abraham. Abraham related to God by all his almighty works in creation, in deliverance, in giving him a battle where his 318 soldiers defeated five kings. But now here comes the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses has this experience with the burning bush. And he says, what name? What name? The I am. In other words, the I am that I am, or Jehovah. Right? So now the name that Israel is going to relate to them with is Jehovah. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The name that they were going to put was only what had been revealed thus far. They knew God as Almighty. They knew he could give victory in physical things. He could give great deliverance. And when Moses asked, well, who shall I say? Who shall I say? He could have said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he didn't. He gave them a new revelation. Tell them the I am hath sent you. Amen. Am I going too fast? If you have any questions, just slow me down. Any comments? They shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Now remember what I said. The name gives the relationship. Right? The name gives the relationship. So they did not know him as we know him. What name do we relate to God by now? And what does Jesus mean? What did the angel Gabriel tell Mary? What's the relationship? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Right, right. Now you begin to understand the difference between the law and grace, because the name that had been revealed was not one of saving from their sins, but it was saving from Egypt. It was the law, and the relationship at that time was different. He said, I shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, that only happened on the Day of Atonement. Once every year, when the high priest went in, he was allowed to pronounce the name of God over the people. The 2 million or 3 million Hebrews, Jews, would gather around the outside of the tabernacle, and after the sacrifice had been accepted, as they were all prostrate. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine 2 million people gathered in front of the tabernacle, waiting for their sins not to be forgiven, but to be rolled over, because the name that was revealed was not the name that was yet salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you know him by? Because the way you know him sets your relationship. Amen. They knew him as Jehovah, the I am that I am. They also knew him as El Shaddai. They also knew him as Elohim. All those names had been revealed. And as they wandered through the desert, they started to put more names on Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, after they won some victories. Jehovah Tisakenu. Jehovah Rapha, after they were healed. Jehovah Jireh, after food was provided. Moses called him that. So you see that the relationship started to get fuller as they related by the name, but it always started with Jehovah. Jehovah. Let's go on. Elohim, they knew him by, because that was the very first name that was revealed. So in Exodus, as they were coming out of Egypt, God told Moses, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. And the reason why is because the name that is in him has been the name that has been revealed thus far. Jehovah. Jehovah. And Jehovah means judgment. For my name is in him. And the full name is the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. And remember what I said Elohim means. One of the names of Elohim is Judge of Judges. So the name that was pronounced on the children of Israel was one that was, of course, one of judgment. That means they had made a covenant. They had made a relationship. But the name that they were relating under was Jehovah Elohim. The I am that is the Judge of Judges. And that's why God told them, I've put my name in the angel that's leading you. Beware of him. The reason is because the relationship name is Jehovah Elohim. Judge of Judges. This is part of the reason why the Old Testament is so strict. Because the relationship that had been revealed thus far, based upon the name, was one of judgment. Beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not. In Hebrews, it tells us that in the Old Testament, that under the word of an angel, there was no forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of the reward, and you know why now. Because the relationship name was Jehovah Elohim. Sorry to those Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're relating to God under the wrong name. If they're trying to relate to him under the Jehovah Elohim, they're going to be in trouble. Aren't you glad that we have a new name? We have a new name. I want you to see the progression in the Old Testament, how God reveals his name. And the difference, when the change of name comes, there is a change of relationship. Here's a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp." That seems so harsh. But Hebrews explains it. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received. So how do you want to know God? Do you want to know him under Jehovah Elohim? I don't. I want to know him under Jesus. Because the difference in the name denotes the relationship. God was progressively revealing his true nature. Exodus 3:2 explains, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto me in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, I'm going to say something controversial to those of you who have not heard this before. And when I teach on the law, I'll bring it out fully. But in Numbers 15:35, when it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death," I don't teach or believe that that was actually God. But it was the angel with the name. And the reason why I said so is if you look at Exodus 3:2, and if you also go to the book of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is before the Sanhedrin, he says that it was the angel from the burning bush. Now, God had designated that angel, and it's called the angel of the Lord. It's called the angel of the Lord. But Exodus tells us that the voice that came from the bush spoke under the authority of God, because he says, "I have put my name on him, in him." Exodus 3:2 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared on him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." So God wanted to reveal his true self, but because of sin, he could not. The mediators of the old covenant were the angels, and I'll be teaching on that pretty soon, on the law and all of that. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, there was a name that was missing. There was a name that yet had to be revealed that brought a completely new relationship. Genesis 32:24. Jacob, on his way back to face his brother, he was in great panic and fear because he heard his brother was coming with 400 men. You know why his brother was coming? To kill him. To kill him. Wouldn't you be in a bit of a panic if you heard someone was coming with 400 men to kill you? And so he did not know what to do, but he remembered that when he was on his way, he had had a relationship. He had slept on a stone, and he had seen the angels of God descending and ascending. But remember, in Jacob's day, the name Jehovah had not been given yet. "Tell me." So he wrestles with a man, it says, with him until the breaking of the day. And Jacob asked him. He wants to know what the relationship name is. "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he didn't tell him. The name had not been revealed, who it was. Remember when I taught about the four likenesses, I said that I believe that God or Jesus had appeared in different likenesses? "Wherefore it is that thou ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Hosea chapter 12 verse 4 comments on that. It said, "Yea, he had the power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. And he found him," guess where? In the same place, the house of God, where he had been on his way out. And there he spake with us. Do you understand that the name you know God by is the name your relationship? I can tell you that he's been Jehovah Jireh to me. I definitely know him under that name. I definitely have that relationship. I want to have all of the names. Amen. What name do you know him by? Has he been your counselor? Has he been your Prince of Peace? Have there been times, maybe Sister Joanne, you could probably say he's been your Prince of Peace this week. Amen. Maybe you'll testify Sunday. I don't know. But what name do you know him by? because that denotes the relationship. Let's look at this. The name was still missing in Judges when Manoah, the angel of the Lord, it said, appeared to Manoah and his wife to tell them that they were going to have a child. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name?" You'll find throughout the whole Old Testament, God really does not really give the name. Because even the Tetragrammaton, the I am that I am, is really not much of a name, is it? It was man that put in the vowels and turned it into Yahweh. But I am that I am isn't much of a name. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, and when thy sayings come to pass, that we may honor thee?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou this thus after my name, seeing it is a secret?" In other words, in the Hebrew it says, too wonderful, too wonderful. Then you start to go back to Isaiah and say, his name shall be called Wonderful. See, God was progressively changing the relationship through revelation of his name, that he would be wonderful. In the Hebrew, that's what it says. But it wasn't until Matthew that the revelation of the new true relationship, what an angel couldn't do, what a prophet couldn't do, what a patriarch couldn't do, the Bible said that God had to come himself. Matthew 1:21, the angel Gabriel came and said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people." That's the relationship. Do you understand? This is the relationship. This is the name that we can depend on. That's why in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says what? "There is therefore now no other name under heaven given among men, whereby..." That's why they can call us Jesus only. It's fitting. Because that's the relationship name. The name of Jehovah Elohim is of God, but it is God the judge. You pick up sticks on the Sabbath day, you are going to be stoned. But if you know him as Jesus, you can be caught in the very act of adultery. And he said, "Neither do I." Because the name Jesus is, he shall save. When he was walking to Jerusalem and they passed the town of Samaria and they wouldn't provide them rooms, the two disciples, you know, the sons of thunder said, "Let's call down fire like Elijah did right now." Jesus said, "You do not know what spirit. I have not come to destroy men's lives." I'm trying to tell you that once you understand the power of the relationship in the name, there's more than just healing. That's just one aspect. There is deliverance. There is forgiveness. There is counsel. There is peace. There is mercy. There is grace. "For he shall save." Yeshua is the future tense of that verb. What's the verb? He shall. What's the present tense? What's the verb? That's a future tense. He is, yes. Or the verb to be. I am. He shall. They will. That's all from the verb to be. So Jesus was the fulfillment of the I am. He is the future tense of the verb to be, which was revealed even through the angel in the bush. But it's the name that saves. "For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved." Jehovah Elohim is God's name, but it is God as judge. Jehovah Rapha is God's name, but it is only through secular self. It's only through physical healing. People can be healed and still go to hell. But the name Jesus has more than just the physical. He embodies all of it, but he came to do more than that, because his name also means redeemer. You see, Jehovah as Jehovah Elohim could not, or as God could not, redeem us from hell. In the Old Testament, it's prophesied, but he will redeem our soul from hell. That's the relationship, so that we are passed from death unto life. Amen? So that the new change of name meant a new change of relationship. Yeshua, he shall save, and it means redeemer. Job prophesied, I know that my redeemer liveth. The difference in this relationship is that Jehovah saved physically. The name in the Old Testament, they knew, saved bodily. But Jesus saves more than that. He saves spiritually. The name now means a much deeper relationship because he is Redeemer. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Contrast that with Hebrews and the angel. Beware of this angel, because you do one little thing, he's going to not forgive you. Contrast that now with the revealed name. For God sent not forth his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How do you know him? How do you know him? I want to know him by all the names, but the most one that fulfills all of them is Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. See, let me say something again controversial. Jesus is not your judge. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not. He didn't come like the angel. The name that was given, that was hidden all through the Old Testament, where people asked, what is your name, was hidden. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Here's what the revelation is. As I said in the lesson I taught about the four likenesses, that Jesus appeared, God appeared in the likeness of all of these, of the angel, but the angel still couldn't save. Look at what Jacob says at the end of his life when he's dying. He said, the angel, even in because I believe it was Jesus and did not reveal the name, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. At the end of his life, he realized, though he didn't know who it was, that whoever it was a redeemer and a savior. He just knew him as an angel. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. You see, Jesus, as I said, is not your judge, but he is your redeemer. Job 19:25, for I know, I said last week, that all of those in the Old Testament that I believe were saved somehow caught a vision of the resurrection. Abraham, for sure. Romans says that he received his son as if one from the dead. He believed in the resurrection. Job too. For I know that who? He didn't know the name. He didn't have the revealed name. But he had a relationship as Redeemer. After all the things Job went through, he lost his 7 children. He lost all of his cattle. Looked like he lost his wife, maybe, I don't know. All the things he went through, lost his health. Lost all of those things. He had a conversation with God. Nothing happened after he had the conversation with God. Nothing happened. Look at it. Nothing changed. But after he went and prayed for his friends, it said, God turned the captivity of Job. Now, I really believe the reason was he had a relationship with God as Redeemer. For I know that my Redeemer, he doesn't call him God this time, Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day. What a prophecy. How do you know him tonight? You need to know him as all of them. Prince of Peace, Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Amen. All of them. So, but there is still more to come. There's still more to come because the Bible says that there is still going to be more to be revealed. And it will be when the name changes yet again. Because if you remember, and I'm getting ahead of myself, let me just read this. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. See, there is going to be a name change again. Jesus, the name given now, is for salvation. It's for salvation. He came to suffer and die. But when he's coming back, he's not coming back to suffer and die. He's going to have a different name. We will still know him as Jesus, the Son of God, but the world will know him under a different name. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And we see that there's another name that is revealed, because there is a new relationship with those that did not accept him when he had revealed himself as Savior. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He's got a different name now. His name is called what? Because Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. I came to save. But there's one that is coming which will judge you. And it will be the Word of God. So we see that when God comes back, the revelation, he's coming back with a new relationship for those that rejected him, and a new name. It's called the Word of God. Vesture dipped in blood. And a new relationship for those who have rejected him. The Word of God. Let's stand tonight. I told you I wasn't going to be long. Short and sweet. My favorite verse. I have lots of favorite, but this is my favorite verse, because it's the one that my dad used to always close the services with. But I want to highlight something. Now unto him that is able to keep us, to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless. See, we're in the age where the name is Savior, where the name is Redeemer. That can be the relationship. To present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude, who was the half-brother of Christ, says this: to the only wise God, who is our Savior. That's the name that I want to know him by. Savior. Savior. For he shall save. The Old Testament, the name that was pronounced on them was Jehovah Elohim. The I Am, the Judge of Judges. They had to keep bringing all of their sacrifices. But today, the name that is pronounced on you is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And the reason is because that name is a saving name. It's a merciful name. It's a healing name. It has all of the power of El Shaddai. They laid hands on the sick in his name. They cast out demons in his name. The devils fear and tremble at the name, because at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. We are so blessed to be living in the age of grace. We don't have to know him as just Elohim, as God, or as just Adonai Master, or as Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God of Judges. We don't have to know him as an unknown name, where Jacob asked, who are you, and he wouldn't tell him. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, to redeem us. As we taught Sunday, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So that all of us here today, we're under grace. Our relationship is totally different. So that's why when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There is yet a name change yet to come. That name change isn't so good for those who have rejected him, because he will be known then as the Word of God. And Jesus said, that is what is going to judge you, the Word of God. We have been blessed that we can know the name. Jacob couldn't know the name. Manoah begged to know the name. Daniel didn't know the name. Isaiah could only give him titles. Wonderful. Counselor. He knew he was God, but he didn't know the saving name. We should be so grateful tonight, because you have a name that is above every other name that can be named. Above sickness, above despair, above doubt, above everything you're going through. You have a name that has power when you have faith in that name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Because his salvation is not just for the physical, but it extends much deeper than that. It goes all the way to hell. That's why he came with the saving name. All those who died before who knew him under those names, they still went to the place of the grave. But when he came, the Redeemer, he went down there and he set the captive free. Bible says he set captivity free and he led a triumphant host, because he had the name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. Now unto him that is able. That name is able. Think about that. Able to keep you from falling. And to present you. This is incredible. That name is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be both majesty, glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Let's bow our heads one more time. Lord,